What's up, everybody? Welcome to the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Michael Fabiano alongside the Fantasy Viper, Graham Barfield. And again, I can't look at this handsome individual without thinking, that hair. He just got great hair. By the way, today, behind the glass, is this the first time you've done the show? Welcome, Erica Tamposi.
Hey.
Have you done the show with us this year?
Not this season, no.
Oh, okay.
Been cast to the curb. No, Eddie Spaghetti does such a great job.
Oh, Eddie's, yeah.
He's the best.
Eddie's the best, but we've worked together a couple times. You know what? You're pretty good, too.
Thanks.
You know what? We love Eddie, but it's nice having Erica with us, too.
Welcome, Ricky.
Hey, Graham.
Good to see you.
Your hair does look great today.
It does look great.
It's 8 a.m. in the morning, and you're still
my girlfriend does that, too. 8 a.m. in the morning. Well, 8 a.m. is not going to be anything but the morning. But I love how she does it.
But you have to accentuate the fact it's not 8, you know. Yeah, you're right. 8 a.m. in the morning. You totally got me.
No. I'm just saying it's just something that she says all the time, and I'm always like, you don't need to say both. It's 8 in the morning or it's 8 a.m.
And we have to be up early. It's all good.
Exactly. But I mean, just the hair.
The hair.
Every day I'm jealous of the hair. Anyways, we have a very important week to break down because it is Fantasy Championship Week. If you made it, congratulations. If you didn't, you always got DFS.
There's a lot of heat between you and Colleen Wolf on Twitter.
I know. You know what, though? I love it. So we introduced Colleen into the league this year. And she kicked butt. She was great. And actually, I know she's in another league where she's in the finals, too. So she's like
killing it.
Colleen Wolf is a fantasy sharp.
Yeah. I think she is. So we've got a big matchup in the NFL Fantasy Live Championship. And it just so happens that I'm a Cowboys fan and she roots for the Eagles.
Oh, right.
So we got that going for us also. And then I'm playing against Amber Theo Harris in the NFL Talent League Championship. So that should be fun.
You feeling confident?
I always feel confident, but yeah, I mean,
Colleen's got a good team in our fantasy live league.
She's got McCaffrey.
She's loaded.
She's got McCaffrey. I mean, that's what scares me. So Graham and I were talking about this before we get into the week 16 matchups quickly. When you are in the finals, it's basically you and just one other person vying for the best players off the waiver wire. And like this week, there was a boatload of them, like Mike Boone, DeAndre Washington, Brashad Perriman, Anthony Miller was still out there in some leagues. So just a quick bit of advice for everyone out there before we get into the matchups, Graham. Do you stick with your studs?
Yeah.
Or do you go with that hot waiver wire claim this week?
Yeah, I mean, that's always the conundrum, right? Is like in these final, it's good and bad, right? So in week 16, you're basically competing against yourself for waiver claims. So you can get everybody that you want.
Right.
But at the same time, like, it does create a lot of interesting decisions. And this week, we do have a bunch. Like, mm-hmm. Mike Boone was widely available. DeAndre Washington was dropped in a bunch of leagues after Josh Jacobs came back.
Yep.
In week 15. So it does create a lot of problems. The only thing I can say is, like, don't always get attached to name value. And
yes.
And just, you know, project what you think will happen in terms of range of outcomes, right?
Yep.
So like, if, for example, let's take Mike Boone. If Dalvin Cook and Alex Mattison are both ruled out in that game, where else is the ball going to go there?
Exactly.
For me, yep. I think if Boone gets the start, he's clearly like a top 15, maybe even top 10 running back play this week. Whereas DeAndre Washington, we know Jalen Richard is going to play and he's going to play well. And then, you know, do you really want to mess around with the Raiders?
Mm-hmm.
That Raiders offense that just lost to the Jaguars and looked terrible in the second half. So,
yeah.
You know, don't be biased towards your studs. And if your stud is in a bad spot or in a bad matchup, don't be afraid to put in, you know, play Mike Boone or DeAndre Washington.
Yeah, I'm in a spot where I have Julian Edelman.
That's a good one.
And I have Perriman that I can play over him. I can have Boone I can play over him. So yeah. I got to figure all that out. All right, so great stuff here. And let's get into these week 16 matchups. First one. Now, we have three Saturday games. So don't get lazy. Okay, it's Saturday, it's college football. It's not, there's football games, the real football. Texans at Buccaneers, injuries, Will Fuller. He's been practicing this week, and if he's a go, he's a great play. Mike Evans is on IR. The Buccaneers, there's like a case of hamstringitis among their wide receivers. They lost three wide receivers to hamstring injuries in the last like 2 weeks.
Yeah, so not only,
which is bananas.
Not only is Mike Evans on IR with a hamstring injury, Chris Godwin was ruled out really early this week.
And then Scotty Miller got put on IR too.
Yeah, and it's Scotty Miller.
Hamstring.
Scotty Miller re-aggravated his hamstring in week 15. You mentioned Will Fuller. He's going to be fine. He's been nursing the hamstring injury for a few weeks. Carlos Hyde did pop up on the injury report this past week with an ankle injury. And I know, like, he went off last week. He had like, you know, great game, went over 100 yards, had a touchdown.
I don't like it this week.
Neither do I. I mean,
no.
Carlos Hyde is like the most game script dependent running back in the NFL. If the Texans get a lead, Hyde could do some things, but I have no interest in playing him against this Bucs front seven that is just so, so good.
Yeah, the number in this game is pretty high, too, so it's expected to be a high-scoring affair. So we'll stick with the Texans. I mean, the obvious plays are Deshaun Watson. Nuke Hopkins is going to go off this week. He's going to go nuclear, let's put it that way. I like Will Fuller, obviously. The matchup is good. The running backs, I think, were fading.
Yeah.
Any interest in Kenny Stills?
Yeah, you know,
Stills of the night! I'm sorry, I'm a metalhead. Every time I hear Kenny Stills, I think of Whitesnake.
I have no idea who Whitesnake is. I know some.
What?
What?
I know. Where am I, right?
Where are you?
Yeah. Who even am I?
How do you fit under
You've
that rock?
You've never heard of Whitesnake?
How do you fit under the rock with that hair you got, Graham?
You know, it's pretty tight down there, Ricky. It's pretty tight. We have to make it work, though.
I know what we're doing after this show.
But listen,
listen to some damn Whitesnake.
Metal at 8:30 in the morning.
It's always great, man, no matter what time.
But no, listen. Kenny Stills is pretty thin, I think. Will Fuller is going to take all their deep targets. And based on the eye test, I thought Phil Fuller looked great last week.
Yep.
You know, didn't rip off any big plays, but he still had the same speed, same role. I'm playing Will Fuller in a couple leagues this week.
So do you have any trepidation in starting Jameis Winston because his top two wide receivers are out?
Does Jameis Winston always throw YOLO balls?
He throws a lot of balls.
Does he care what receivers are out there? Probably not, right?
Yeah. So start Jameis Winston. Yeah. I'm playing him in my league. He popped up on the injury report as well, but he should be fine. Just keep tabs on his status.
We'd obviously love to have Evans and Godwin out there, but like Rashad Perriman's playing well. OJ Howard has been.
That was my next question. So which players? Obviously, Perriman is a play this week.
Yeah.
But like, do you trust OJ Howard, Cameron Brate, even Justin Watson in deeper leagues?
I mean, I don't trust OJ Howard.
Okay.
If you follow the process, he's a great streaming play this week. The Texans have given up the second most fantasy points to tight ends over the last month, and OJ Howard is coming off a season-high 8 targets. Now, granted, he didn't have a big game last week, but that usage is pretty strong, and they're going to use Cam Brate too, but I really don't see a path where OJ Howard doesn't get at least like 5 to 7 targets in this game.
Do you think there's any chance either one of the Buccaneers running backs has a good game?
Sure. Sure, Ronald Jones definitely could, but I just, again, it's Peyton Barber's always frustratingly involved, and Ogun Boakye is going to, you know, he's gonna take touches.
So in my Saturday DFS lineup, I have Barber in as my flex. Two reasons. One, the matchup's actually pretty good. Number two, they're down so many pass catchers, he's the better pass catcher in that backfield.
If you're playing DFS on this Saturday only slate, the running backs you have to choose from are very, very slim.
Yeah.
Very slim.
I've got Gurley and White.
It's Gurley, and that's about it.
Gurley and James White also. He's a good play, too, against Buffalo because his floor is really good. Let's talk about Bills-Patriots. Injuries, Julian Edelman. Now, he's still in the injury report.
Yeah.
Ian Rappaport is saying he's going to play. Do you play him?
Yeah.
Now, he had a stinker last week. The last time Edelman had a stinker, against Buffalo.
Yeah. Well, Edelman is really banged up going to this game.
Yeah, he is.
He's dealing with a shoulder and a knee injury. He's going to play. He's going to continue to tough it out. But, I mean, I follow this line of thinking pretty simply. Like, last week, the Patriots they smashed. I mean, their defense got them a big lead.
Yep.
Brady only had to throw, like, 25, 26 times. And Edelman only, you know, I don't even think Edelman played in the fourth quarter there because he's nursing all these injuries.
Yeah.
This week, do we think the Bills keep the Patriots' foot on the gas? And I think the Bills can play really well here and keep the Patriots in this game.
So then you like Edelman?
I do. I'm not saying he's the same wide receiver one because Edelman was a receiver one all season long.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Just nobody was giving him enough credit. This now that he's dealing with all these injuries and he's in another tough matchup, I don't think he's going to post like, you know, 15 to 18, 20 plus fantasy points like we saw. But, you know, he's got a floor of 5 to 6 catches in every matchup that he goes in. So I think you can play him as a receiver too. But, you know, he's going to create a lot of tough start-sit decisions because the floor is a little bit lower now.
Yeah, Julian Edelman's a wide receiver 4 right now.
Wow.
In PPR leagues.
That's crazy.
That's bananas. So we'll stick with the Patriots since we started with Edelman. Tom Brady, I want nothing to do with him. If he is Superman, his kryptonite is the Buffalo Bills. Over his last 5 games, 3 touchdown passes, 9.3 fantasy points per game. And honestly, like, Tom Brady hasn't been good in fantasy this season.
No.
So he's an easy fade. James White, I'm playing. Sonny Michel, Rex Burkhead, want nothing to do with them. And to be quite honest with you, the only other player that's playable, Patriots defense.
Yep,
that's
absolutely.
It. They had a big game earlier in the season against Josh
Real
Allen.
Quick on James White.
He's
in 3 of his previous matchups against the Bills. He's caught 20 balls for 149 yards.
He's a good play.
I mean, they're all they're going to do is check down to White and throw it short to Edelman.
Are there any Bills you'd play?
I like Devin Singletary a little bit as a flex play.
Okay.
But other than that, yeah, I'm with you. I'm off Josh Allen. He's, you know, he's kind of struggled in this last couple matchups.
John Brown against Stephon Gilmore. No, thank you.
Yeah, the Patriots have all the talent to be able to slow Allen and Brown down. Gilmore's playing at an all-world level. Yep. Maybe only Tre'Davious White's playing better than Stephon Gilmore right now. Maybe even that's a stretch.
Let me ask you a question. Would you see a scenario where White travels into the slot with Edelman?
I don't know. That's interesting. White typically plays on the outside.
Right.
And Edelman.
But they have nothing dangerous on the outside now.
Edelman will play in their two receiver sets, and I imagine when they go into their two receiver, they'll probably put White on Edelman, but at the same time, I don't imagine White will probably go into the slot on every single snap and play against Edelman. But stranger things have happened. I mean, the Bills would obviously be pretty smart if they go into their three receiver set and they throw White in there. Like, their boundary receivers aren't going to beat anybody either.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. Exactly. All right. The last Saturday game, Rams at 49ers. Now, keep in mind, guys, the forecast is for rain. And, you know, we've got a matchup here that has got some pretty intriguing fantasy players, right? I mean,
there's a lot of potential plays in this.
Yes. But, well, one of them, Jared Goff, I would not touch him with a 39.5-foot pole. Do you get that reference, by the way?
Yes, it's the Grinch.
Okay, I didn't know, Eric, if he knew that because he didn't know who Whitesnake was.
Exactly.
So I wasn't sure. But Goff with a bulky thumb, with an inaccuracy issue right now, and in the rain, no thank you. Yeah. The one player that might screw everybody who's got Tyler Higbee, Gerald Everett's coming back.
He is. He's practicing.
So what
all
do
week.
You do with Higbee?
You know, I
hate this.
Yeah.
This is the coal in my Christmas stocking. Damn it, because Gerald Higbee's Everett. Been so good.
I mean, Higbee has gone over 100 yards in three straight games. He's been fantastic. At the same time, I have no idea how Sean McVay is going to play this with Everett back. I mean, he's been doing some weird things with his formations. Like a couple weeks ago, they went like strictly 12 personnel in a game, and Cooper Kupp only played like 19 or 20 snaps.
Right.
They could play Johnny Munt again and just keep the ball.
Don't Munt.
Johnny Munt. I mean, Higbee would be like a top three, top four, top five play at the position if Everett were out again. But you know, now this injury news kind of does throw a wrench in it.
Yeah. I moved Higbee down in my ring. I mean, I still have him.
How low, though?
Like, he's still in the top 10, I mean, he was top 5, and now he's in the Jacob Hollister range.
Yeah, I was going to ask, so do you play any of those streamers we like? Like Howard, Hollister?
I like Hollister, man. Dude, he's playing the Cardinals. Yeah. So I haven't made that decision yet, but I have that decision in one of my leagues, in the league against Amber, and I'm not sure yet. I haven't figured it out. I got to get some counsel.
I think I might play Hollister over Higbee this weekend.
Right?
I think that would be
not crazy if Everett's active. It's not crazy at all. So are you, in the rain, I mean, Gurley, you're playing. Like, even when Gurley is not getting the touches lately, he's still scoring. Had a couple of touchdowns and a 2-point conversion against my beloved Dallas Cowboys last week. Robert Woods. I mean, Cooks shouldn't even be on your on your roster at this point. Robert Woods.
Yeah.
Cooper Kupp. These guys are in your lineup.
I like both of them as like low end receiver two plays this week. Woods, you know, really frustrated in the box score this past week.
Yeah.
Only caught 4 balls for 17 yards, but he saw 9 targets, marking his 5th straight game with at least 9 looks. And Cooper Kupp, for what it's worth, I mean, his role was restored back to its normal level last week. I mentioned in week 14 he played like 20 snaps. He played well over 90% of Ram snaps, even in a game where they just got completely destroyed against Dallas. And Gurley, too. I mean, Gurley played almost every single snap this past week. And since their bye, I mean, I know it's not been pretty at times, but Gurley has clearly been their workhorse once again. And, and some of his passing game usage has come back, and I think that'll be huge for this game because the Niners should get out to a lead.
On the 49ers side, though, you're looking at Garoppolo is, to me, I'm fading him. Mostert I can play. The Rams have struggled against running backs over the last 4 weeks, especially against Zeke Elliott last week. I'm not playing any of the other 49er running backs. I can't play Emmanuel Sanders. I can't do it. He burned me last week. And let's be honest. He had that one game against the Saints, and really, since week 10, he'd done nothing else.
Well, he got hurt. He dealt with a rib injury that was apparently pretty painful. I mean, anytime you take a rib injury and you play football and you're trying to get hit, that's pretty brutal. He's back healthy now. I'm with you on that this week. Jalen Ramsey is going to shadow
Emmanuel Sanders this week. Yes.
And now here's the thing.
What about Debo? I mean, is there any interest in Debo?
Here's the thing.
Okay.
Troy Hill, yes, their other corner, is going to miss this game.
Right.
So I'm kind of into Debo, but at the same time, there's a lot of great receiver plays this week.
Like, yeah, there is.
There's at least 25 or 30 receivers I really like this week.
Yep.
It'd be pretty hard to find Debo into a lineup, but I would not be surprised if Debo had a really nice game here. And by the way, George Kittle is just going to go off in this game.
Yeah, no doubt.
He owns the Rams.
49ers defense, obviously a good play as well. Let's move on to the Sunday games. And this one here, it's another revenge game. Ryan Fitzpatrick. As his revenge game tour continues.
This is his like fourth this year.
And Fitzpatrick, career-wise, has averaged 18 fantasy points in revenge games. I'm going to have our researchers do that like in the offseason, because revenge games have hit every freaking week. Tavon Austin, Rex Burkhead, Ricky Seals-Jones, for crying out loud, hit. And so I'm starting Fitzpatrick in one of my leagues.
Yeah. I like Fitzpatrick this week, too. He's borderline top 10, top 12 play. I know the Bengals really haven't given up a lot of passing production this year. I've seen that narrative a little bit this week, but it's just simply because the Bengals were just getting destroyed in some of their games. Now, granted, they have turned it around a little bit since Andy Dalton's come back, and they've been a little bit more competitive, but I think that's a little bit noisy, because when you're, you know, basically just teams are running against you the second half, you're obviously not going to give up a lot of passing production. But yeah, him and Parker are obviously almost borderline must plays this week.
Parker's been awesome. And Cincinnati actually has been really tough on perimeter receivers, but Parker's been too good to sit. No question about that. You're also looking at two defenses that aren't very good that are playing against two offenses that are favorable for defenses. Are you starting either one of them?
No, I think this game shoots out.
Yeah.
I think this game shoots out. The only thing that might hold this game back is I saw that there was a little bit of concern that there might be some weather in Miami. They're looking, it's potentially looking like there's going to be some wind and some rain in Miami. But as we know, you know, we lived in Florida.
Yep.
Weather reports in Florida are notorious to change pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Just keep your eye on that.
Yep. Joe Mixon's a must start this week against the Dolphins. He popped up on the injury report, but it looks like he's going to be fine. So get him into your starting lineup without question. I like Tyler Boyd this week as well. I know he's kind of been up and down, but you look at the numbers, the Dolphins have given up 13 touchdowns. That's a league high to the slot this year. So, you know, no A.J. Green, no Auden Tate. Tyler Boyd's going to see a lot of targets in this contest. So Mixon, Boyd. If you need a kicker this week and you're looking for a sleeper, Randy Bullock is worth a look as long as the weather's okay. Andy Dalton in two QB leagues, right? Yeah. I mean,
I don't know, it's championship week in a 12-team league, you'd have to be really thin at quarterback, but I actually don't mind Dalton as a really deep streamer this week just because it's Miami.
If you had to pick one of the Dolphins running backs, who would it be? I mean, dude, there's people out there that have to figure out if they got to play Patrick Laird in their flexes.
I guess it's Laird because he's got, you know, a chance at 4 to 5 targets, but Myles Gaskin outsnapped him and outscored him in fantasy last week.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. You would likely want to avoid that situation.
Steelers at Jets. Revenge game. Le'Veon Bell, the biggest revenge game of the week, unless you're into the Matt Prater thing. But Juju Smith-Schuster looks like he's going to be back. Do you trust him this week against the New York Jetropolitans?
Oh, man, I love Juju, but there's no way you can play him in a fantasy lineup this week.
It's tough, man.
Yeah. I mean, even before the injury, I mean, he was held below 45 yards in three of his last four games before he went down. And look, the Jets obviously can be burnt, but at the same time, I just don't know how you'd have much confidence playing Juju in a lineup with Devlin Hodges back there.
Yeah, exactly. And unfortunately, there's a domino effect there, because assuming Juju is active, then it's really hard to play James Washington or Deontay Johnson.
Both of those guys are pretty thin.
Vance McDonald, he could be back this week too, but who cares at this point? If you couldn't do it against the Cardinals, he got hurt. You know, we hate to see a guy to get a concussion, but he hasn't been reliable in fantasy this year, so he's a hard fade. Jets, Darnold, do not want. Now, here's the interesting conundrum, right? Because Robbie Anderson's been really good. He's doing his whole late season thing again. But the Steelers are really tough on perimeter receivers. Where they've struggled is against the slot. So who's going to have a better game this week, Crowder or Anderson, and who starts for you?
I think Anderson is probably the better play. Steelers outside receivers have been, you know, it's kind of flipped recently. The Steelers are actually playing a lot better against slot receivers as of late, but at the same time, I'd try to avoid both of these guys if you can, because recently, I mean, Pittsburgh has been so hot on defense. Like, they have the talent to really overwhelm the Jets' pass protection here with their really talented front seven, and their back end's playing extremely well. Over the last 5 weeks, they've given up the fifth fewest fantasy points to receivers, so I'm not really into either one of them this week. If I had to pick, though, it'd be Anderson.
Steelers' defense is a great play, and Le'Veon Bell is a play. Like, I mean, dude, do you really have enough depth to bench Le'Veon Bell and not at least flex him this week?
Marcus mentioned it earlier this week. He's not obviously been an RB1. He hasn't had a huge ceiling, but the floor has been fine for him.
Yeah, he's and I mean, you know he's going to be fired up to play the Steelers. So Lev obviously remains in your starting lineup. Giants or Redskins? Daniel Jones is going to be back. Evan Engram was placed on injured reserve for the G-men. Do you have any faith that Danny Dimes in a 2QB or Superflex league can actually give you a good stat line against Washington?
Yeah, Redskins secondary is all sorts of banged up in this game, too. I'm not sure. I think I'd play Andy Dalton over Daniel Jones.
I would, too. Yep.
I do like all of his receivers this week. I like Sterling Shepard, Golden Tate, and Darius Slayton. I have no idea which one is going to have the best game.
Yeah, I know.
But any of those guys are certainly in play for season-long lineups this week. I mean, Washington is just getting roasted outside.
Saquon looked like Saquon last week, so obviously he's going to be in your lineup on the Redskins side. We liked Adrian Peterson as a sleeper last week, and he came through with over 18 fantasy points. If you need a flex starter this week, I mean, he's certainly worth a look. Terry McLaurin is back in our good graces, has had a touchdown, I believe, in two straight games, and now he's got the Giants. They've given up right around 25 fantasy points per game to perimeter receivers and 11 touchdowns, so McLaurin is a guy that you could start as a wide receiver to flex. This is also a good matchup. It's like the Bengals and the Dolphins, right? It's a good matchup for the defenses. Do you play either of these?
If I had to pick, it'd probably just be the Giants because Haskins is known to he's been known to take a few sacks in, over the last couple weeks.
But
going back real quick to Adrian Peterson, like Bill Callahan just he obviously just shown a willingness just to load him up with touches.
It's too bad that Darius got hurt.
Yeah, 16 or more touches in five games now with Darius Geis out and Callahan as the head coach.
Yep.
It's crazy. Peterson's 33 years old and he's still in play for fantasy championship week.
He is. It's unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, we've seen Frank Gore sort of fade, like, you know, this season.
Peterson's still got
juice. Peterson is still...
He still looks
from
good.
From a fantasy perspective, is still getting the job done in that featured role with Darius out. Panthers at Colts. So Greg Olsen looks like he's going to be back this week. He was a full participant in practice, so Ian Thomas needs to be back on the waiver wire. But the big story in this game is the Panthers are starting Will Greer. And Will Greer has never started an NFL game in a regular season. And in the preseason, he didn't look all that good.
Yeah,
what are your thoughts? How does this affect Carolina's offense?
Greer might have been the worst quarterback in this preseason.
Now, great because I have DJ Moore.
It was only like 100 or some odd snaps, but Greer really did not play well at all. And you know, if you play like kind of like what are coaches thinking, which is always a precarious game to play. But let's play it real quick. Like if Will Greer looked like terrible in the preseason and you know we saw however many weeks of Kyle Allen, you know, 13-14 weeks of Kyle Allen starts, and he obviously didn't acquit himself very well, how bad must Will Greer be in practice, you know? But at the same time, like in theory, Greer wants to push the ball down the field. That's the way he played in college. He played extremely aggressively in college, has a very strong arm, even though he's not a, you know, huge guy, he's got a strong arm. You can play DJ Moore this week, but
That's it.
You can't trust Curtis Samuel
or
Greg Olsen.
And I don't know that this would affect Christian McCaffrey. He's still going to see his targets out of the backfield, especially when Greer's freaking out and checking down when the Colts are being aggressive and putting the blitz on him. So
you would think
McCaffrey obviously is, you know, going to be in your lineup. That's a no-brainer. On the Colts side of it, this is an interesting week for the Colts because offensively, they've been terrible.
Yeah, I want to like all the Colts this week, too.
Marlon Mack is a flex play this week. Carolina's awful against running backs. They've given up the most touchdowns and the most fantasy points. Jack Doyle, although he's had two stinkers in a row, I mean, the whole Colts offense threw up on itself last week against New Orleans. So you can't. I still feel like Doyle is more of like a back-end, tight-end one because of the volume in terms of his potential targets. T.Y. Hilton is back. He didn't do anything last week. I can't trust him in the fantasy championship.
No.
Can you?
No, you can't play T.Y. Hilton. I mean, the two games we've seen him recently, he's gone 2-for-27 and 2-for-21. Or 3-for-18 and 4-for-25 in his limited games with this calf injury. And look, I mean, the Colts are drawing dead towards the playoffs.
Yeah.
Why would they risk playing Hilton even more if he's still way less than 100%?
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
You can't play him. The real question for me in this game is what do we do with Jack Doyle? Because he's playing every snap.
I know. I think he's like a back-end tight end one. Yeah. You know, like if you couldn't get Hollister, if you couldn't get even Higbee, you're gonna roll the dice with Jack Doyle this week. Chase McLaughlin, because we're going to talk about kickers. It's championship week. He is a good streaming kicker this week, and the Colts defense, because they're playing against a quarterback who's never played in a regular season game, also worth a look as a defensive streamer. Ravens and Browns. Now, the last time these two teams played,
the Browns won.
Browns won.
Somehow.
I don't know how the hell they did it. They won. Injuries, David Njoku is banged up again. He was inactive last week, and obviously Ricky Seals-Jones came in and had a huge game. Do not chase the fantasy points, please, with that. Anything outside of the obvious with the Ravens this week?
Nope. Nope. I mean, they're the same team every single week. You play Lamar, you play Mark Ingram, you play Mark Andrews, and you just count up your touchdowns.
What do you think? Well, Ravens defense is a good start because the Browns are imploding. What do you think about Hollywood this week?
Yeah, he's always the biggest question mark in this offense, and he has such a huge ceiling,
yep.
obviously, because Lamar is the GOAT, and Marquise Brown can burn anybody, but at the same time, his floor is really, really low. You'd have to be in like a 14-team league and be pretty thin at receiver, I think, to play Brown.
Yeah.
But he's obviously, you know, he can go off in any matchup.
Are you playing any Browns that aren't in their backfield? Like, Nick Chubb, the matchup's not great. The last time Nick Chubb played against the Ravens, I mean, he tore him up. Now, that also was earlier in the year when Kareem Hunt wasn't around. That was back in week 4. So, Nick Chubb is still in my lineup, right?
Yeah. Quietly, the Ravens have given up the 6th most yards per carry over the last 2 months. I think you can play both Chubb and Hunt.
Yep.
Landry is the closer call because you can't play Beckham in championship week.
No. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
It's
we are in week 16.
In OBJ.
Championships are on the line, And Erica, you can't play Odell Beckham Jr.
No, you can't. And even Jarvis Landry yeah. is like, I have him on my bench right now. And I'm like, he could go off. But then it's also like, I just have no idea. And you can't trust this Browns team.
And we're supposed to predict this stuff.
I know.
OBJ, like, dude, if he's on my team, I'd rage drop him so he doesn't get a ring on Saturday. If he's on my team, I'm like, you know what, dude? You're out. You're out. No, it's not his fault, though.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
I mean, the Browns offense, the Browns pass offense in general is just crumbled. They've mm-hmm. just completely crumbled. Baker is completely uncomfortable back there and just doesn't trust the offense, doesn't trust what he's looking at. And, yeah, against this very talented Ravens secondary, I don't think you can play. You can't play Beckham, and Landry's
iffy. Yeah, I have Landry in the league, and I got him on the bench right now. I think I was able to pick up Perriman in that league, too. God, Perriman. Is he tanks this week?
Yeah.
Oh, God. And, you know, because the fantasy gods are cruel, that's probably what's going to happen. But, I mean, matchup is there, and 40 pass attempts a game for Tampa, so we'll see.
Yeah, if Tampa gets behind in that game, which they very well could, it would be really hard for Perriman to fail.
Yeah. Jaguars at the Falcons.
This game could be gross.
DJ Chark was limited in Thursday's practice. He could end up being a game-time decision. Obviously, they'd like to get him to 1,000 yards this year, but you also don't want to push a guy who's not at 100%. So he keep tabs on his status. Do we like any Jaguars not named Lenny Fournette?
Yeah, and even Leonard Fournette at this point has kind of shown a lower floor just because the Jags continue to get destroyed. Now, granted, obviously, they came back and won against the Raiders last week, but
yep.
you know, we keep waiting for Fournette to have a big game. It just hasn't happened. I mean, the usage is great every single week. He's going to get 15 carries.
The catches are saving your butt in PPR.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But that's the thing is he's going to, you know, he's going to be involved in their passing game. He is what he is at this point. He's a solid RB2. He could go off against Atlanta for sure. Would not surprise me at all, but the Jags at the same time, they're in danger of getting destroyed.
Yeah. The Jaguars defense is playing like trash right now. So Matt Ryan is a start. Devonta Freeman, we told you to fade him last week because he had the bad matchup, but I'd play him this week as a 2 or a flex. Austin Hooper should see more opportunities, I believe, this week. Just missed on that touchdown that broke Graham Barfield's heart and a lot of other fantasy owners out there, but saved my bacon. I could tell you that. Hooper or Higbee this week?
Hooper for sure.
I'm thinking so, too.
I think Atlanta's going to destroy Jacksonville.
Atlanta's defense is a play this week, and so is Young Hoku.
Yeah.
We're talking kickers, man. Dude, kickers matter, man. They score points. Ask anybody who's had Ku this year. Outside of that San Francisco game, he's been bananas good.
And Ku is like the best onside kicker of all time. He got one last week, too, and it got overturned. You see that?
Yeah, I did. He's been a really good pickup. Saints and Titans. Now, the injuries here, the first thing that comes to mind, Derrick Henry, if you survived last week with him, and in the league that I have Derrick Henry, I did not survive.
Yep.
I lost. Yeah, that team, boy, everybody tanked. But he's a must-start, right?
Yeah.
He's a must-start. He's got to be, right?
He
Saints are good against the run, but It's Henry.
He has to be. Look, the Saints also, you know, I know the Colts couldn't really exploit it last week, but the Saints are down two of their top defensive linemen. I mean, Marcus Davenport was playing extremely well. He's out for the season. And I think the Titans could be a team that could absolutely take advantage of their injuries. But at the same time, Henry is operating well under 100%. I saw, you know, he had a nice 15-yard gain last week where the hole was just massive, and if he were fully healthy, I think he might have housed it, but just he just did not look like he had the same burst once he got into that, you know, that extra gear. But at the same time, it's Derrick Henry. The Titans are at home. You can't not start him.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there. Even if you were able to pick up like a DeAndre Washington or a Mike Boone, I
think the tougher question this game, Fabs, is Marshawn Lattimore is going to play. He's going to shadow A.J. Brown, and both A.J. Brown and Lattimore are playing at all world levels. I mean, A.J. Brown is like one of the hottest receivers in the NFL.
Just who wins the battle, bro?
Keeps going off.
Because I have A.J. Brown in a league, and I am jacked at wide receiver in that league, and I have Brown in my lineup right now, but the matchup's not great.
No.
It's not great.
And Lattimore, for what it's worth, Lattimore did not play very well to start the year, but he
but he's balling now. He's
red
been
hot.
Great second half of the season.
He's been so good.
Is A.J. Brown a top 20 wide receiver this week?
He's right on that cusp.
Okay.
Right on the cusp.
Perriman or A.J. Brown?
I think I'd go A.J. Brown, but that's really close.
Tyler Boyd or A.J. Brown?
Oh, Boyd. I love Boyd in that game.
Jarvis Landry or A.J. Brown?
Oh, definitely. Definitely Brown.
Cortland Sutton or A.J. Brown?
And we'll get to that game in a second.
See?
We'll get to that game
in a second. It's hard, man. Really, so speaking of the Titans, though, Ryan Tannehill's a play for me. The Saints, not nearly as great on the road against quarterbacks as they are on their home field. And Tannehill's just been, you know, he's just too hot
to sit
at this point.
He's an auto start, yeah.
He's a tremendous, tremendous play. This is a Jared Cook revenge game.
It is?
Yeah, dude. He played for the Titans.
Oh my God.
That's where he started.
You're right.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, wow, yeah.
He played for the. So this is a revenge game for Jared Cook. I mean, like, you know, obviously you're going to play him. He's been really good.
Yeah.
Alvin Kamara, the question that everyone wants to know.
You know, I completely forgot that the Titans drafted Jared
Cook.
For some reason, I thought the
Rams.
Yeah,
he was at the Rams after that.
Yeah.
Jared Cook was that guy that, like, late in the season, he would have huge games for the Titans, and everyone was like the following year, yes, Jared Cook is a sleeper. And then he sucked. And then he would do it again late in the year next to Jared Cook. And then he would suck again, and then he ended up going to the Rams. And he hasn't really actually been all that great in fantasy until the last couple of years.
Yeah, he went to the Raiders. And
when he was in the when he was in Oakland.
He's been pretty good for the Saints this year.
Very good.
Back half of the season.
So does Kamara get in the end zone?
Oh, God.
Darn it. He's driving me nuts, dude.
I know.
I lost. I got knocked out of a league just because of him.
You know, I've got Kamara on two championship teams, and obviously he's not been the guy helping those teams. If Kamara scores a couple touchdowns this week, and I'll be looking very good.
Yeah,
I'll say that.
Drew Brees is going to be part of my bold prediction at the end of the show, so I'm not going to say anything. But you feel like he's a must start.
I wouldn't say he's a must start. I mean, I think I'd play Tannehill over him this week.
I would too.
I'll play Tannehill over him this week. Breeze is fine. He's a rock solid QB2. The thing is like, you know, there's a couple question marks I have in these, like, the lower half of the quarterbacks this week. Like, Dak is less than 100%.
Yeah.
You know, could you really play Ryan Fitzpatrick over Drew Breeze? I think you could play Kyler Murray over Drew Breeze. You could make a case for that. But at the same time, there's not a lot of great streaming options this week.
Yep.
So, you know, you're probably rolling Breeze.
All right. You're going to have to wait for that stat until the end of the show. Raiders at Chargers. Josh Jacobs has already been ruled out for this game, which means DeAndre Washington's going to get, you would think,
the majority of the carries.
The majority of the work, which was the case a couple of weeks ago when he had, I believe, 20 touches in that game, and he had over 21 fantasy points.
He did.
The Chargers are not great against the run, so do you trust DeAndre Washington in your championship game as a flex?
He's a very solid flex.
Okay.
It was like a 60-40 snap split in favor of Washington back in Week 14 when Josh Jacobs missed the game. DeAndre Washington got 14 carries, also got 7 targets, which is amazing.
Yep.
I don't know why John Gruden feels like he can throw the ball to DeAndre Washington but not Josh Jacobs. It doesn't make much sense to me, but I'm not head coach in the NFL, and I don't get paid $100 million to make these decisions. So
would be nice if we
would be nice.
We did, though.
Would be nice. But yeah, DeAndre Washington's a fine play this week.
Derek Carr's a fade. Tyrell Williams, this is a revenge game too, but I think the last time he had a revenge game as Chargers, he wasn't all that great. I don't trust Tyrell Williams. Darren Waller's a must play this week. Phillip Rivers has been a stinker for most of the year. Do you trust him against the Raiders, who have been getting pooped on by quarterbacks?
Yeah, I know.
I mean,
you know, here's the Chargers are so frustrating because they have all these great skill position players like Eckler, Gordon. All these guys are in great matchups this week. They can all take advantage of them. It's just I have no faith in Phillip Rivers to perform well. I think you could play Rivers in a 2QB league.
Yes.
But, I mean, you'd have to be pretty thin. It's like the Dalton thing earlier mm-hmm. when we were talking about Dalton. You'd have to be pretty barren to play Rivers in a one-quarterback league.
You're playing both of the running backs. I mean, Gordon had the fumbleitis last week, but we would hope that all is forgiven now against the Raiders. You play Gordon. You play Eckler. Keenan Allen's a must play. Hunter Henry killed you last week, but you play him this week. Mike Williams. He's been good. 14 plus points in three straight games. The Raiders are brutal against perimeter receivers. So Mike Williams, he's a sneaky little flex play this week, I feel like. So I would have confidence playing him if I needed that flex.
Mike Williams is getting hot, man.
Yeah, dude.
He's allergic to the end zone for the entire season. Now he's got two in back-to-back games, averaging 81 yards per game over his last four.
Yep.
Went off against the Packers, too. Had 100 yards in that game back in week 9. Williams isn't going to see a lot of targets, but he's going to be very efficient on them because all they do is just chuck it deep.
Yep, Chargers defense also could be a streaming option this week because the Raiders, they haven't been good. Lions at Broncos in the Matt Prater revenge game.
You're all on them.
It is.
You're all in the revenge game.
Didn't Matt Prater break the record for the longest field goal as a member of the Broncos? I believe that he did. So there's a little history there, and it is in Denver, and the air is thin, so whatever. Injuries, Bo Scarborough is a question mark this week. Kerryon Johnson is expected to be back. Now, I told a lot of people, pick him up off the waiver wire a couple of weeks ago just to see what happens. I talked to my pal Dave Burkett, who covers the Lions, and when I asked him, is Kerryon going to start? Is Kerryon going to see a full workload? And should I trust Kerryon? He basically told me that he's going to play, but he didn't know that he would be a featured back. He thinks that he would split the workload 50-50 with Scarborough if he's healthy or Wes Hills. So,
yeah, and that makes sense.
Kerryon, right? The matchup's good. Kerryon's awesome. I'd have to be desperate to play him, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like I didn't understand why Detroit would want to bring him back,
mm-hmm.
Especially after he's missed basically the entirety of the last 2 to 3 months. Yep. Matt Patricia did say his conditioning is strong, which is good. I mean, it's good to see Kerryon Johnson's going to be 100% for next year, which is great for 2020.
You know what's going to happen, though? He's going to score a touchdown. You watch.
Yeah.
You watch. He's going to score a freaking touchdown.
He very well could.
Yeah.
Or maybe Wes Hillis or whomever.
Do we like any Lions in this game? Like any? And that includes Kenny Galladay, because the matchup is bad for him.
Yeah. I hesitate to say it because, Chris Harris was playing really well, but over the last couple months he's really started to struggle, as has this entire Broncos secondary. They've kind of packed it in here recently. Their front seven, Denver's front seven, can definitely get after David Blau, and I like Denver's defense a lot as a streamer play, but at the same time,
love Denver's defense.
Chris Harris does not scare me as much as he once did, and Kenny Galladay is obviously super talented and can go off and in any matchup, but at the same time, yeah, it's David Blau, and
here's what scares
Broncos
me.
Front seven
here's what scares me now since he had that big game on Thanksgiving. He had the 25.8, which burned a lot of people, including myself. He had 17.8 the following week, but that was on a late touchdown, if I remember correctly, and he only had 58 yards. He had 44 yards last week against Tampa, and they stink against perimeter receivers. And in the week before the Chicago game, he had 10 points against the Redskins, and that defense is not very good either. Week before that, Cowboys, 4.4. So Galladay's only had two good games since week 11, and even in week 10 against Chicago, he had 14 points, but he had that touchdown that was just a Hail Mary from Jeff Driscoll. So Galladay's gotten lucky, and if he hasn't gotten lucky, then you're not getting lucky. And against Denver, with David Blau looking like blah, all right? I mean, ever since the first two quarters against Chicago, he has sucked. I can't play him.
Yeah.
I can't play Kenny Galladay. I can't do it. I'd play Perriman over him. I'd play Anthony Miller over him.
Yeah.
Tyler Boyd, Terry McLaurin. I'll keep going. I can't trust him. And he's great, but his quarterback is terrible.
I'm with you, and I would play even two of the deeper shot guys that we liked, and we've spoken about this entire slate, is Will Fuller and Mike Williams. I think I'd play both of those guys over him.
Yeah, man. I don't think that's crazy. On the other side, Drew Lock, I feel like, is a low-end, super flex, 2QB league guy, because the Lions are bad against quarterbacks, really bad against quarterbacks. So, and Lock has only had really one awful fantasy game, which we kind of saw coming against Kansas City in the snow last week. His first game was decent, and then he had the big game against Houston. So I mean, if you're really desperate, you can potentially go out and pick him up off the waiver wire. Philip Lindsay has been, for me, one of the most frustrating freaking players in fantasy football in the last 4 weeks. This guy's matchups have been so good. Like, I actually made a trade for Philip Lindsay in one of my leagues based on the matchups that he had coming down the stretch. He had Buffalo. They're terrible against the run, 7.8 points. Then the Chargers, not good against the run, 9.2 points. Houston, 13.5, and he got robbed because he had a touchdown called back, so I'll give him that one. Then last week against Kansas City, 3.2. Now he's got Detroit. And Detroit has been getting gashed by running backs all year long. Can I trust Philip Lindsay? No, I don't think I can.
The matchup is so good, though. It's so good.
I know, but I've been saying that for 4 weeks.
At home against Detroit, the touches have been there.
I keep saying it. I know. It's not doing anything for
me. I know. Look, I've got this call in a league, in a dynasty league. I'm playing, and look, it's down to Lindsay versus Anthony Miller, and I've been grinding my teeth on that all week.
I'd play Anthony Miller. Yeah. It's so frustrating because the matchups are so good and you want to like him so much because the matchups are great and he's not doing anything.
Well, he keeps out touching Royce Freeman. I mean, he keeps getting the ball. I mean, last week he only got the ball 7 times because the Broncos got smashed and just could not, you know, he kind of have to drop that game, obviously.
But in the weeks before, Houston was the only one.
Yeah,
that was it.
I think last week you kind of do have to drop the game. It was in the snow, Drew Lock's first game on the road in Arrowhead. Broncos just couldn't sustain any offense. You know, they dropped back and threw it 40 times because Mahomes and company just got out to a huge lead.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Lindsay's certainly been frustrated.
Yeah, Cortland Sutton is a play for me, and Noah Fant if you're hurting at tight end. I think they're probably better options, but Drew Lock has shown a tendency to throw the ball to Fant, so that's good news for him. Cardinals at Seahawks. This game seems to be Christian Kirk. I believe he's back at practice now, right? And he's missed a little bit of practice.
He's going to play
this week. So Kirk is a play for me. Kyler Murray is a play for me. Kenyon Drake's a play for me. David Johnson, hopefully he's in Tampa Bay next year. Larry Fitzgerald is certainly not a play. Unfortunately, one of the greats, he's really struggled down the stretch. Seattle, this is very sort of just simple.
Yeah.
You're starting Russell, you're starting Carson, you're starting Lockett. Yeah. Metcalf's a good play. Hollister's a good play. Seahawks defense is a good play.
Really, this entire game is really simple, right? Because the Cardinals only have like 3 guys you can play in fantasy, and they're very straightforward between Murray, Drake, and Kirk. And then the Seahawks should go off in this game. It's going to be Russell Wilson started the year extremely well and has kind of been like a middling QB2 ever since then. He's been just right around like 17, 18, 19 fantasy points. Has not had a huge ceiling game.
Yep.
If Wilson doesn't have a huge ceiling game in this
I love him.
At home against Arizona, this is just a huge spot. And we just have to hope that Kyler Murray and the Cardinals can keep up here and keep the Seahawks' foot on the gas, because if they do, this game is going to go off.
Yeah, in my Sunday DFS lineup, I've got the Russell Hollister stack going for me. We'll see how that goes. Yeah, I like that. Jason Myers is a good play, too. The matchup's good, and again, the Seahawks defense. So here it is, Cowboys-Eagles.
This is for the NFC East.
Cowboys-Eagles. You know, and I know this because I've been crapping on the Cowboys for much of the year, and I know they're going to break my heart. I get it. Like But is Dak going to break our fantasy hearts?
Yeah.
Now, if he's going to throw, it's going to be very limited. He may not throw it all today, Jason Garrett said, and he may not throw until tomorrow. We'll see what happens. Dak Prescott's been one of the best quarterbacks in fantasy football. He has had 20 or more fantasy points in every game against the Philadelphia Eagles in his career. Do you play him?
Here's the thing, is like, what other quarter? I mean, maybe if Ryan Fitzpatrick is somehow out there on your league wire, which I don't know how he would be, and he's been taking a lot of sharp leagues.
Yeah.
Unless like Ryan Fitzpatrick's out there, like you're going to play Philip Rivers over Dak Prescott this week? If he plays, like...
No, I know. I'm there with you.
It's really tough. Like, that's the thing about this slate is Dak Prescott is way less than 100%.
Yeah.
To me, if he's not throwing even on, you know, Friday, Saturday, that is a massive warning sign. He's clearly limited. And last week, there was a quote where he told Michael Gallup in the huddle that, like, there was an RPO. And he's like, even if you're open, I'm not going to throw it to you because I'm hurting that bad.
Yeah.
That's not good. That is not good. But at the same time, the matchup is so great. Cowboys have to win this game to win the NFC East.
Mm-hmm.
You probably have to play Dak. I mean,
let me go through some quarterbacks here real quick.
Unless you can get lucky off the waiver wire and somebody's out there somehow.
Let's get into that brain that's hidden behind that wonderful head of hair. Matt Ryan or Dak?
Ryan for sure.
Ryan Tannehill is definitely a play over Dak. Aaron Rodgers or Dak?
I do not like Rodgers a lot this week, but I think I'd play Rodgers over him.
Kirk Cousins or Dak?
Cousins, yeah.
Fitzpatrick or Dak?
Fitz for sure, yeah.
Wentz or Dak?
Wentz. Oh, yeah, Wentz.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you basically just dropped Dak into, like, the middle of the teens at quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, way less. I mean, I just don't trust that he's 100%. I could totally see the Cowboys just giving, you know, Zeke like 25, 30 carries in this game.
So if that's the case, I mean, are you fading Cooper and Gallup as well?
I know. It's just such a good spot, though. That's the thing is, like, if Prescott throws it 25, 30 times in this game, you better believe that, you know, almost half of those are going to, you know, go to Cooper and Gallup. Yep. And if they both get, like, 7 to 8 targets in this game, it's going to be really hard for them not to come
And keep in mind, your quarterback does not have to have a big game for his wide receivers.
Exactly.
Well, you know, so.
That's the thing.
I mean, if you get five for 70 and a touchdown from Cooper, you're loving life.
Exactly. If Dak throws for 220 yards, 210 yards, 70 of those could both go to Gallup and Cooper, and you'd be very happy.
Yep. Eagle side of things, all their wide receivers are banged up, obviously. We've been seeing that. I know Ward looked good last week. I'm not playing him against the Cowboys. Miles Sanders is a very good play this week. And Dallas Goedert also, because the Eagles have so many injuries at wide receiver, that Goedert basically is going to see more targets and continue to see those targets. Zach Ertz is a no-brainer. There's no question about that. And Grayman mentioned that, you know, Carson Wentz is a play for him over Dak Prescott this week. So,
Wentz has been hot. I mean, I know he's
been better. The matchups have been better. And the Cowboys, like last week, Goff still had a decent fantasy game. He was almost at 18 points. It was garbage time, but the Cowboys have not been great against quarterbacks in the last like 4 or 5 weeks.
Right. I mean, Carson Wentz has finished as a top 12 fantasy.
We made Mitchell Trubisky look good. I mean, dude, like that's
it's
all.
Hard to do.
All. I mean, that's all. Jeff Driskel too.
It's hard to do. But yeah, Carson Wentz has finished as a top 12 fantasy quarterback now in 3 straight games at home against the Cowboys. NFC East on the line. I like it.
All right, Chiefs and Bears. As we get down to the nitty gritty here, we've got 2 games left. Damian Williams, I don't know. It doesn't matter. I'm not playing any Chiefs running back. Did you see the touches breakdown last week?
No. Yeah.
And it was like 3 guys basically like split the touches like almost down the middle between Spencer Ware, Darwin Thompson, and LeSean McCoy. I know the Bears are not great against the run. I don't care.
Yeah, you can't
I'm not trusting any of the Chiefs running backs. Obviously, Mahomes is a must-play this week, and Tyreek and Kelce, those are obviously no-brainers. I don't think Watkins is in play. He hasn't been in play for weeks. I wouldn't trust him. I do like the Chiefs' defense in this game because Mitchell likes to turn the ball over, so I can see the Chiefs, and their defense is playing very well. Now, on the Bears side of things, Trubisky, no thank you. David Montgomery is also a fade for me, and if you look at the last 4 or 5 weeks, the best fantasy running back in Chicago has been Tariq Cohen.
Yeah, it's just because
I would play Cohen over Montgomery this week.
Yeah, because Cohen's involved in their passing game. Weirdly, I mean, David Montgomery is just like a ghost in their passing game. It's weird. Like, he was a really good receiver coming out of college, and I think that's one of the ways they could maybe get him going a little bit more is just try to get him out in space, because Montgomery is just, I mean, he's just clearly not an inside the tackles grinder because he just doesn't have a lot of burst.
Yeah.
But I'm with you on Montgomery. I think you fade him during championship week. And really, outside of A-Rob and Anthony Miller, the Bears are very straightforward.
Miller's a good play again this week. He's running right around 22 routes per game out of the slot, and that's where the Chiefs can be had.
So there's this I got a few questions about this on Twitter this week about the Chiefs and how they play defense. So they've been, like, basically forcing everybody to the middle of the field. Like, tight ends have been performing really well against them, and slot receivers have been just going off against them. This year they've given up the 6th most receptions to the slot all year long. And here's the thing is, like, yes, we know the Chiefs want to push everything towards the middle, but, like, the Bears have nowhere else to go besides Allen Robinson this week. And I know the matchup isn't great, but A-Rob is just getting so much volume. It'd be really hard for him to fail, especially in a game where the Bears are going to get behind and they're going to have to throw again. Trubisky threw it like 50 plus times last week, and A-Rob saw 14 targets.
Yeah,
I mean, he's gonna be just fine.
Monday night game, Packers and Vikings. Obviously, the biggest question in fantasy is who's going to be the running back in Minnesota. It doesn't look like it's going to be Dalvin Cook. Ian Rappaport is saying he's unlikely to play. Alexander Mattison is not practiced. We got to see what he does today and tomorrow. But if there's a scenario where Mike Boone is the bell cow, he's an RB2.
Yeah.
It's got to be an RB2.
High upside RB2. I mean, at home against the Packers, you know, just terrible run defense. The Packers run defense has been bad all year long. You know, that's the crazy thing is, like, it's week 16, and Mike Boone might legitimately be a fantasy league winner.
He could be. He could be. Rest of the Vikings, Kirk Cousins to me is a borderline QB1 in 12-team leagues. And I honestly think this game could end up going over the number.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's more of a high-scoring game.
I wouldn't be either, especially here in that dome in yeah. Minnesota, too.
That's why I don't hate Rodgers this week. I don't love him.
Right.
I don't hate him.
Yeah.
So I think he's right. I have him and Cousins, like, I think back-to-back.
Yeah.
Like around 11, 12 in that area.
That seems exactly right for him.
Yep. Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen are both in play. Kyle Rudolph, I would not play him. As long as Thielen has been active, you look at the numbers, he's averaging fewer than 6 fantasy points per game in games Thielen is active. That number swells to over 15 when Thielen is out. Thielen is playing. And on the Packers side of things, and it's interesting for me because in our NFL Fantasy Live League, I have Jones and Devontae Adams, and I have Boone on potentially in play as well. Devontae Adams should smash because Minnesota's awful against perimeter receivers. So this is a big game for him. Aaron Jones. Will we see the good Aaron Jones? Are we going to see Aaron Jones is going to leave big lump of coal in your stocking?
I've got Aaron Jones in some big spots, and I've gotten his big games. Well, I've predicted Aaron Jones poorly all year long, but he's got 17 freaking touchdowns this year.
Yeah, that's crazy.
He carries just week-winning upside into every matchup, and this week is no different. Meanwhile, Jamal Williams is just completely faded. He went on that little scoring stretch in the middle of the year, had 4 straight games with a touchdown, but he's been completely off of the radar here.
Yep. All right, well, that is your Week 16 matchups, and Erica, you know what time it is now.
Are you ready? It's fantasy bold prediction time.
All right, Week 16, kids. All the chips to the middle of the table. It's nut-cutting time, as Matt Money Smith would say. I wouldn't say that. I guess I just did. Graham Barfield, give me your bold prediction. And Erica, if you want to scrap together a bold prediction, get working on it right now while Barfield's talking. Go ahead.
Look, Terry McLaurin has been my guy all year long.
Okay.
I was wrong about him last week. I was not on him against the Eagles, which should have been because it was Haskins. But McLaurin has gotten hot here recently, and the Giants are so bad on the boundary. So I'm going to say Terry McLaurin is going to finish this week as a top three, not even top, top three fantasy receiver.
Wow.
In this game, McLaurin is going to go off here.
That is bold.
Top three. He's going to win you.
My friend.
He's going to win you your championship this week. Love McLaurin.
How are we doing behind the glass? You got anything?
I'm looking at a couple of my lineups and I'm just so, you know, perflexed. Perflexed. That's a word I just made up.
You're perplexed and you're flexed and perplexed.
I'm perplexed about my flex.
You're perplexed about your flex.
So, yeah.
We'll add that to the Merriam-Webster dictionary.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's do that.
I don't know. I really feel like I'm going to end up benching Kenny Galladay. Like, you have to. Like you said, you have to. And then I just, it's how it works. I feel like all of a sudden Blau is going to connect with him, you know, 20 times or something. And it's like, but I'm still not going to play him. But that's my
bold prediction. Fantasy guys are cruel.
Yeah.
They're very cruel.
I feel like he's going to do better than we think.
Here's my bold prediction. And people on Twitter, you can just attack me. I couldn't care less. Drew Brees is not going to have a good game this week. Drew Brees is coming on. I mean, he had the best freaking game in the history of football. Like, I mean, his completion percentage was the highest ever in a single game. And he's been playing better lately. But Drew Brees has not been perfect this year. Ask anyone who started him against Atlanta, okay? He hadn't been perfect. And Drew Brees has this weird trend, and I love looking at this stuff. He's got this weird trend late in seasons. If he's on the road in an outdoor game where he sucks, okay, listen to these numbers. Since 2013, outdoor road games, and this has nothing to do with the weather because some of these games are in Tampa Bay. So don't come at me and he's not cold weather. It's been in Tampa too. Since 2013, outdoors, on the road, fantasy playoffs, he's averaged 14 points per game in 6 games. Since 2016, outdoors, on the road in the fantasy playoffs in 3 games, 8.1 fantasy points. Okay? This week, he's playing outdoors on the road against the Tennessee Titans, who can be tough on their home field. I'm just saying, I'm not telling you to bench Brees. Okay? So don't come at, yeah, he's in my top 10. I'm just saying that if Brees has a stinker, I told you so. That's all. That's it.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm just saying, if I have Ryan Tannehill, I'm playing Tannehill over Breeze.
Does that affect Thomas then, Michael Thomas?
No, it doesn't, because Breeze can have stinkers and Thomas goes off regardless. Yeah, so no, not at all. But
Thomas might break the record this week.
I hope he does.
Yeah, he very
Dude, he
well
saved
could.
My bacon in my dynasty league. I beat Todd Mossberg, our great producer of NFL Fantasy Live, by less than 2 points. because of Thomas.
You got that 55,
I did.
Right?
I needed 55 from Breeze and Thomas last week.
And you got it.
And now I'm in the championship.
Wow.
Oh, right. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Man.
That's awesome. All right, guys. So, number one, good luck this week. Remember, there are three games tomorrow, okay? You don't want to be that owner that forgets to start your Saturday, guys.
And if you're on the West Coast, that first game's at 10 a.m., so make sure you get your Texans and Bucks in.
Exactly. I'll have the inactives on my Twitter, so you can check that out as well. Good luck this week. Don't overthink things, okay? I know it's a big spot. Don't overthink things. You're typically going to stick with your studs. But if you've got a gut feeling about somebody, play it. It's your team. You know, you don't have to always listen to us because we're not always right. We just give you the details, and then you guys sort of absorb that and take it for what you will. So good luck this week, and we will be back on Monday with Marcus Grant. Are you here on Monday?
I'm not. I'm traveling for Christmas.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
going to Atlanta.
So, my friend...
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I'll see you around the office, but Merry Christmas. I don't know if I'm...
And I'll be back with you guys Monday, too, I think.
You are? Oh,
out.
Two in a row with Taylor Posey.
Yeah, Eddie's traveling, too. Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
It's an early Christmas gift for me.
Absolutely,
I love
too.
It. But everybody out there, good luck this week. Marcus and I and Erica will see you on Monday to break down everything that happened in Week 16 and maybe look back at the season that was and potentially give you a few waiver wire claims for Week 17. For those of you who play in Week 17 championships, I don't know why you would do that, but we will have more. And again, as Marcus always says, rate and review. And remember, there's three Saturday games, so set your lineups. Good luck, everybody.